Hi, welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. I'm Natalie Torres Haddad, and
I'm Carmina Hermosillo.
And today we are excited to share with you some helpful resources, whether they're free resources like some documentaries online or maybe checking out a few movies, some books or podcasts or favorite TED Talks. And we find this is a great way for someone that's just not only trying to learn about financial literacy, but really get a handle on their money. And just taking 20 minutes out of the day can really make that difference. And half of the time you can find this stuff for free, whether through your library or online, and maybe pay a couple dollars here and there, but it's worth the investment. So we wanted to start off with some of our favorite documentaries that we obviously love because of the entertainment value as well. Which is one of your favorite ones to talk about?
Yeah, so I think everybody has definitely heard of this one. When it came out, everybody was kind of like in awe. The minimalism.
I know, it's a tongue twister. Minimalist, many times. Yeah.
Minimalism.
Yes, and they have a podcast too, which is a really helpful one. So minimalist, yes.
Right, so minimalism. If you know a story, it's two friends. It's Ryan and I forgot the other guy's name. I want to say Jared. But one of the guys asked his friend, who at the time were coworkers, he's like, "Hey, why are you so happy?"
in a really concerned way, like, "What's their deal?"
Yeah, like, "What's going on?" Because the guy asking the question was really kind of
in a slump.
Mm-hmm. He was at a great paying job, had really good income, but he was miserable. Like, right. I think one of his quotes was saying that I was buying stuff just to fill like this hole that I didn't know was there. So he asked his friend, like, what's going on? Like, why are you so happy? And his friend told him, you know, I'm trying this new thing. It's called minimalism.
Yes, it's the movement that you've seen many people encounter, yeah.
Right. And so he started teaching him about, you know, reducing stuff around you, not having a lot of material stuff around you, and how that actually helped him be a lot more happy.
Right.
So he got his friend into being a minimalist. And sure enough, the same thing happened to him. He started living with less things around him, which then affected his mental health. He was a lot happier. And I believe also got out of debt. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, he was going through a divorce and going through so many different life-altering. His mother had passed away.
Right.
And so it's him. He all of a sudden, he said, wow, I don't see myself accumulating more crap, basically, and more debt. And obviously the lifestyle was a complete change, and they go around touring, and obviously they do the podcast, they have a book, but I really resonated with me because they really do touch base on where our money goes, where our finances go, and overconsumption country that we can be. And so seeing that, right?
Well, when I saw the movie, I thought, I didn't know what the term meant, and I don't know, it was a thing. I always say that I was forced into minimalism because when I didn't have money, I started selling like my camera. I started selling things in my room, having yard sales. And so as a symptom of that, I, of course, started having a lot of stuff, but I also did feel a lot more relieved.
Yes.
And I didn't connect the two. I think it was a little later in my life that I connected the two, and I thought, and then so when I saw the movie, I was like, hey, I've done this before.
it's incredible, because one of the guys, right, he talks about his mom, like, and the hoarder, you know, the hoarder that a lot of us become sometimes, especially if you're going through something difficult. In college, that's something, the biggest thing, my friends would hide their closets, because I could tell when they were going through something. If you have multiple items in your closet that have the tag still on them, or
the same
outfit, and it's because you have so much stuff that you forget you're buying the same shirt pretty much. And I really like the concept about this documentary, where it just shows you different lifestyles, different, there's married couples, there's singles, there's people with, I think there's a family, what was it, more than five kids? It was a big family, and they managed to be able to live in this type of minimalist movement. Yeah.
And I think what Ryan says also, he's like, I learned to, he said, everything in my life has a purpose. So he owns 52 things, and he said, everything brings happiness to me.
Yes.
And it also reminded me of Marie Kondo.
Oh, God, who did not watch that Netflix?
Yeah.
Every episode I binge watched Marie Kondo. She's awesome.
And her,
tidying up, right?
Right, and her phrase was, does it bring joy? So it's also the same thing. Does it bring value to your life, or is it building something, or do you just have it just because? So I think that's very powerful to think.
Yes, it totally is. Another one we'll get back to another documentary, but one of my favorite documentaries that I always recommend to people, it's called The Boom Bust Boom, and it came out more than a few years ago, but it's an entertaining documentary because they managed to put Muppets in there. There's animation. There's actual professors in, you know, doctorates in economics. And they really do describe the pitfalls, the cycles in economy, and so how we're all affected by it. And they actually go back to the date when the first currency really came in place, right? And how supply and demand works. And it's just, they made it in a way where it's, sometimes I recommend people this, and they see the cover, and they're like, why are there two puppets? Is it just for kids? And I'm like, actually, it's a great movie for the whole family to watch. But it really does show what happens to our economy when we go through a crash, where we go through, you know, everybody's buying the same thing because, you know, things are good.
Right. So they take you, I think the beginning it says, we can see the recessions coming because of histories and patterns over time. And they don't, the patterns are always the same.
Yes.
So it's good for education purposes, you know, so that you can educate yourself in what are the symptoms. It also breaks down the different types of economic philosophies.
Yes.
I want to say it's philosophies.
Understanding that everything is a cycle, and history tends to repeat itself, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, we're not the first generation to deal with certain things, right? And then obviously they talk about all of these new factors on apps and videos that we normally didn't have, our parents didn't have to deal with. So it's definitely a documentary I highly watch. And I think most of them, you do have to, if you don't have like Prime, you have to purchase it, but for a couple dollars, totally worth it. One that's not a documentary, but it's based on the real life experiences during the market crash, and her and I talk about this all the time because I love this movie. I've watched it so many times, obviously because the cast is incredible. You have Brad Pitt, Stephen Carell, Christian Bale, and the list goes on, and Ryan Gosling. Well, you know what else?
Of course.
Is The Big Short. I tell people, have you watched The Big Short? Half of the time they say, yeah, I watched it. And I'm like, can you watch it again? Because it is describing what happened right before the market crash. So the symptoms that happened 2007, what we started to see the creeping in. And it's basically the story based on the few people that actually saw it coming. And I think this movie really represents what majority of people still have that feeling of, mm-hmm. it can happen. It does happen, and it will probably happen again, maybe not as extreme.
Yeah, and it shows, I love how it shows how the practices of the banks, what they were doing.
Oh, yes.
The one thing that always sticks out is that I think they're researching to see if there really was a mortgage crisis about to happen, and they go, I think it's Florida.
Oh, yeah, so Florida and, is one of the biggest markets that got hit, Nevada and California, but right. Florida was, I mean, you can drive, and I still remember you can drive, and blocks were empty, brand new homes.
But do you remember he opened the door and he's like, oh, is so-and-so here? Because that was the name on the mortgage application.
Oh, yeah.
And it was the dog. It was like the dog. And that's real life. That's really what happened.
It's such an important documentary. I call it documentary because it's based on real things that happened. But it's such an important movie because it's that. It shows that people were getting into mortgages and known as ninja. Like, so basically, you're not giving the disclosure of what you're really actually making. People were making it up. And this guy actually used his dog to apply for a mortgage, which he got. And they have these incredible scenes where a stripper, she's like, oh, yeah, I have five houses. He's like, five mortgages? She's like, well, two on each. You know what I mean? So you see that people were not only falsifying, but they were giving loans out to anyone. And it's kind of, it goes back to the phrase. I know David Bach was recently talking about this. If you haven't read any of his books, they're incredible. Is that when you are giving a mortgage or someone's basically going to lend you money, you don't take the full amount. You know, just because you qualify for $1 million doesn't mean you should take out a house for $1 million, especially if it's your first home.
Right.
It's understanding that there needs to be some discipline and there needs to be a forecast that you're not going to lose your job, right? And this movie talks about shows the guys that were in the lending side, that were the lenders, and living extravagant lives. And these were guys that maybe 2 years prior had no formal education or real way of helping people. They were actually taking advantage of mostly immigrants, low income, Latinos. So it's very important to understand that these cycles still continue and definitely affect us every day. But they did it in a comedic way. I mean, there's so much comedy.
Yeah, which is I love. You know, you put Steve Carell in anything and he's like amazing.
And he's like this angry guy, but he's hilarious. And then very celebrity pop based, right? You had Selena Gomez, you had Anthony Bourdain, just people that you're just like, oh, I'm going to listen to. Margot, one of the famous actresses, you know.
Yeah, they made it in a way that it's interesting for people to watch, mm-hmm. and you're also learning, and it's very well explained. So I think I would recommend it right now.
Yes.
Since there's talk of, like, you know, the next recession is coming, so that you can see what the symptoms are and also what you need to do in order to protect yourself.
Right, because they describe how the market corrects itself, right? So if everyone's buying, what goes up must come down, right? And I think this movie did such a great job of making it, I think, like, kind of dumbing it down, but making it so entertaining.
Very simplified.
But there was moments in there too where you have language that was so difficult to understand. And for me, that's always been such a big portion of creating content that's not just bilingual, but it's that information that we can give to say, learn those few terms, because that one term can mean so many other things, as far as, like, do you understand what's talking about the interest? And right. They actually give you the term and say, let me explain this portion to you.
Right. Well, speaking of resources, one that I really like is Investopedia, investopedia.com.
Yes.
They explain terminology, finance terminology.
The glossary of it, yeah.
Very simply. They also have really excellent videos. So, you know, if you're embarrassed to ask questions like, what does this mean? Right. Or what's an APR? They have videos where you can go in, and it's, you know, brief 2-3 minutes videos. So I really love Investopedia.
And a side note, we are not being paid by any of these companies, but it's important to be able to share that these are valuable resources that we find helpful for us. Because sometimes these resources can be feel very overwhelming.
Yes.
And more importantly, sometimes it seems like it's not accessible, or you don't really know what to expect. Maybe we can move on to some of the podcasts that we've, Minimalism is oddly one of them, but I've always enjoyed Jen Hempfill's. It used to be Her Money Matters, but it's Her Dinero Matters.
And yeah.
It's, you know, the topic's all of women. You were recently on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all forms about money. And so being able to understand that there's podcasts. Another one is Popcorn Finance, which is one under 8 minutes, usually under 10 minutes. And it's something that you can listen to while making popcorn, anything about finance. So I think that's something we find, right?
I like, I also like to hear Dave Ramsey's show where people call in, where they're like, I don't know, I have $100,000 in debt and I'm a student and I don't know where to start. And he gives, you know, tough love, which I think
really
is important. I think it's important because you can't be too nice to people when it comes to finances, because sometimes they're just...
Sometimes I need a slap.
Yeah, you just need a little nudge.
Like, wake up, right.
But I like to hear the stories because it makes me feel... Honestly, sometimes it makes me feel like, okay, I'm not that bad. My situation's not that bad.
Right. Yeah, hopefully you're not. And
honestly.
And if it is, you can say, you know what, I guess I'm not the only one dealing with that. Susie Orman's another one that has one out too. But I think it's kind of cool to hear. Farnoosh has a really helpful one. But it's these podcasts that really bring light to people dealing with real stuff. And the ones that are successful share their strategies and what helps in that way. So you can get a few of those. And if we can talk a little transition to... We can give you the show notes, tons of books and other online resources, but maybe some of your favorite TED Talks, because obviously it's a shameless plug that I can talk about that I did a TEDx talk, but more importantly is the ones that I feel have helped me understand how it helps with us with our finances and really how to take charge of our money. One of my favorite ones is, and you've probably seen it already, it's the Brené Brown's Vulnerability.
Yeah, I love her.
And you're thinking, how does that really connect? Well, if you have a business or just in your work, wherever you are, when you share some of your difficulties, your challenges, that is what really allows you to be authentic and allows people to really see that you've overcome a lot of things in order to get to the place where you are. And her vulnerability talk is pretty funny too. She's very charismatic, but I love how she mentioned there's this moment where you have this vulnerability hangover, I can't even say it. And for me, it's a reality I'm dealing with now because my second TEDx talk is not even out yet. And I'm still having like these anxiety attacks, like, oh my God, what did I say? What did
right.
I do? Do people understand it? But it's allowed me to share a moment in my life that was very difficult, but how I overcame it and how I've helped other people deal with theirs too. Because ideally when you share something, it's not necessarily, oh, for people to know who you are. If anything, it's a topic you'd never want to ever speak of, really. But for me, I realized it helped many people, and it was therapeutic for me to share that concept with it, too. And so watching Brené Brown's, like, talking about we need to be more open about our challenges and being vulnerable, it makes people want to invest in you, especially if you have a company, especially if you have a side hustle, you could say people invest in people. So I think her TED Talk is one of my favorites.
Yeah, well, I did write down one of my favorites is Natalie.
I did not pay her to say that, but thank you.
Only because, like I said, I mentioned another podcast that we did. When I first met Natalie, and she said that she had a TEDx talk, I looked her up and I was like, what? She's like talking my language, you know, because I can relate to her because she's Hispanic and she's bilingual, but because a lot of things that you talked about were very important, you know, to our demographic right. and our culture. And I really loved what you said about learning the language of finances, and you can start doing that with 20 minutes a day. Right. You can just start, you know, Googling terms that you don't know, and that kind of adds on every day. Mm-hmm. So you can take action with your finances. I was looking here for my notes for another TED Talk. I believe her name was Elizabeth White. She's a Harvard Business graduate.
Yes.
Is
what is the title? I can't think of her.
I don't remember.
We'll have to put it in the show notes.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes. But I love her because she's already of age. She's a graduate from Harvard Business. She starts off her TED Talk like, if you see me, you're going to see me very refined. This is the clothes that I still wear when I had money. You wouldn't know that last week my lights got cut off because I couldn't pay. And so she goes on to say how, although she's a Harvard businesswoman graduate, that she still found herself in a lot of debt.
Right.
And then she also talks about the social implications of what got her there and how it's okay if you're 50 and over and you're still dealing with this because, again, nobody showed her. So.
And it's a whole new generation that we see baby boomers dealing with right now.
Right.
And Generation X as well, as, you know, early 50s, that they're finding themselves into new markets again. They lost a job. They're restarting their whole, and especially if they lost their retirement, right, during the crash.
Yeah, that's insane.
It's kind of like they're starting all over again. So it's interesting. Yeah, it's a good talk, and I can't think of the.
Yeah, we'll put it in the show notes because I really liked her.
And then before we transition to books, the last one that has been a life changer for me is Sir Ken Robinson's How Schools Kill Creativity. It's still one of the top two most watched TED Talks of all time. Yeah. And I personally knew him because, long story, but that's another episode. And hearing him talk about how our creativity does ignite so many different areas of our lives, that really what allows us to become financially savvy, believe it or not, because if we enjoy what we're doing, then guess what? The money comes as well. When you hate what you do, you can tell when people don't get the promotion, they're not doing well, and it's because it shows. And he talks about in school, creativity is such an important part, especially for youth, as far as dance, art, whatever it might be, music, that allows us to think, not just the logical way of saying it, but it allows us to think a little bit more complex and allows us to really develop as a human being, a proper adult. And so I think that's one that anyone needs to listen to, especially if you're trying to figure out what your element is, which his book is called The Element, many of his books, but one of them is The Element. And I think it's understanding that financial literacy is understanding it. It's literacy. It's understanding there's different resources that don't necessarily always just have to be on paper, but it can be something audio. It could be something like documentary. It could be like our podcast.
Right.
Maybe some books that come to mind.
You know, the book that I always kind of gravitate towards, it's not about finances, but it was helpful with me learning my money story, and it was Eckhart Tolle's.
Oh, yes. He's known as a money guru as well, so Eckhart Tolle, yes.
Yeah.
And I think the Four Quietness, we'll come back to this one, but
yeah.
His upbringing and the way he teaches people about their mindset is really
important. Right, and what happened to me when I read the book is that he talked a lot about the ego, and that's when I first thought about what the ego was, and he talked about it so eloquently that I was like, oh my god,
it's life changing.
This is what I'm going through right now. And that's when I was a financial advisor, and although I was advising people, I was not doing well with my own finances, and it was like my ego saying, kind of like a false identity. Yes. It's a false identity of yourself, you know? Yes. So that book was really powerful for me.
I just saw a documentary with Warren Buffett talking about that. He's like, if your ego's in a way, get it checked. And it's true. It's just kind of that being able to understand.
Humble yourself.
Exactly what it's doing to you.
Uh-huh.
I think my top book, there's so many, but the one that I think resonated right out of college was Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. I felt like it was my story. I'm like, I grew up in a poor neighborhood, and then for high school, I went to private high school, and all of a sudden, I'm in a whole new world that has nothing to do with growing up in Inglewood during the LA riots, where my life was completely different.
Culture shock.
That book really was, it was an eye-opener. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm living in two different worlds and exposed to two different types of people, and it was actually really cool because it enriched me who I am today.
Of course.
But understanding that these books can really be life-altering. We're going to wrap it up, but the few titles that you have to get out there, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill.
Yes.
And The Millionaire Next Door by Thomas Stanley, the studies that he discusses, some of those books are just changing. And we'll try to do our best to give out as many books as possible, because as you hear those episodes with all these interviews, especially self-made millionaires, they'll always give you tons of resources because they read consistently, they watch,
yes,
they learn, they take the if they're going to watch TV, they're going to watch a documentary, something that's informative. So taking a hold of it.
Yeah.
Sure. So stay tuned for our next Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes.